Showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Baylor transfer Matthew Meyer has committed to Illinois.
What?
Per his Instagram page.
Are you... Oh, yeah! Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Hans, never mind tipping it to you, buddy. Can you hit the drink button again? Well, good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lance, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, en route. We'll be here any moment, and we've got a fun show. It's another short show due to the Cardinals and Rays game starting early tonight down in Tampa, which I think is actually technically St. Petersburg. But we're off a little bit early tonight, or not a little bit, about an hour early. But we've got plenty for this first hour, including an interview with Chester Frazier, who is in Rockford with Josh Whitman and also Jeff Alexander. It is one of these recruiting tours that they go on. And Pipes, you were there last night. So I'm anxious to ask you about that and find out just kind of what they're doing with this thing. I think it's a pretty cool brainchild of whoever thought of this to do this, to go around the state of Illinois and drum up support. I know they've done it, what, in Decatur? No, what was it, Decatur? No, they did an NIL thing in Decatur.
Illini Guardians won in Decatur.
That's right. So Springfield, I think, had one of these, and they're going to go all over the state.
I think they're in Peoria next week. I know that.
Cool. Okay. So I want to ask you about that, but first things first, it's Grandma Jan. Jan Tay, my mom, it's her birthday today. So happy birthday to Mom. The boys and I are heading down there tonight. We're frying fish.
Sounds great.
Oh, my God.
Happy birthday, Jan.
Yes.
Loyal listener.
Yeah. I mean, probably one of our best. So top five. Well, let me put top three. I'll put it that way, right? I mean, she's got to be top three. So congratulations and happy birthday, Mom. Love you. All right. So the Rockford trip last night, you took a trip. It was funny. 2 days ago, we were leaving the show and you're like, yeah, I'm going to go to Rockford. I'm like, that's a long drive. That is a long drive.
It's about 2.5 hours. Yeah.
It just seems like you never get there.
It's kind of funny because some of the people there are like, what are you guys doing here? Isn't that a long trip for you? And we're talking to Josh Whitman and Chester and Jeff, and they're like, yeah, we took the flight up, 30-minute flight, all rubbing in our face, the private bird, yep.
Yeah. Hans.
Yeah.
Hans flew you.
We should have hit up Hans.
You should have just been like, yeah, Hans D. flew us here. Yeah, I'm sure, let me guess, like Rockford had a TV station there, or a couple maybe.
One or two cameras, yep.
And they were probably thinking, all right, we're going to own this. Like, there won't be any other media. We're going to own this thing. And then you guys come walking in. They're like, oh. But, of course, TV, they get to do their own because we're special in TV. We wear makeup. So we get to do our own one-on-one.
That's one of the few reasons why you guys are special, yes.
All right, so you go to this. And, by the way, you had interviews. You were able to talk to Josh Whitman, who we just heard from the other day, but a different perspective, a lot of different questions that you had asked to Josh Whitman, and also Jeff Alexander, Illinois basketball assistant. So you were able to talk to those two. We're going to hear from them tomorrow. We'll put that together and let you hear Whitman and Alexander tomorrow. Chester Frazier today. I'm excited to hear this. It's good to see Chester, isn't it? It's great that he's representing Illinois.
Yeah, because you can just tell the excitement that he has being back in the orange and blue and coming off the Big Ten title, something that he didn't get as a player, and he's very prideful about that. But he certainly loves Illinois, and just it feels right, the fit back for him being in Champaign and someone that was a beloved player.
Yes.
When he was here, everyone appreciated his grit, his toughness. You can't get away from someone. Even asked him last night about the Eric Gordon bump at midcourt. Like, and Joey and I were joking around, like, is he annoyed by that, or is he just, is that something that he's just going to smirk and know that that's going to follow him the rest of his
forever.
Way, and he's going to love it? I think it's the latter. I think he is going to love that. But always love talking to Chester and talking ball with him. And he's a guy that lives in the film room and loves working with those guards and even getting out on court and battling them sometimes.
So we'll hear from Chester here in a second. When they did this, is this like a dinner? Kind of take me inside this little tailgate tour that they're doing.
So, yeah, it was a dinner, and Joey and I, we stopped and got something to eat beforehand. We shouldn't have, because I think they would have let us partake in the pulled pork and the pretzel bun hot dogs.
Ooh.
And ice cream, like, buffet style. Like, it was high level. It was at a brewery, so they had that going on.
Some cold beer.
Oh, yeah, cold beer all around for sure. And I think there was probably about, I was just eyeballing it, maybe 75 or so
That's
people
awesome.
There. And they had a Q&A session with both assistants, Jeff and Chester, and then Josh Whitman had one
That's
as well.
Cool.
Deion Thomas was there, too.
Oh, was he MC in
it? He was the MC.
Man, you can't get better than that.
No,
better
I
than
mean,
that.
Nicest guy out there.
Yes.
And then certainly a guy that is very beloved and great energy. So he did a great job. It was very a very nice event. And they're certainly trying to continue to inform people. And people are asking about NIL and how to get involved there. I think that's
awesome.
a big part of it. And then also, of course, always fundraising for
mm-hmm.
projects within the DIA. And then Josh was making sure to hammer home, we got to sell out the homecoming game this year for football. So trying
it.
To continue to – and just as he was hitting home with them, is this was something they did pre-COVID.
Okay.
Like getting out and making
that's
sure there's
right.
face-to-face contact with those that are alums, that are fans, and just trying to – get that relationship going again and just have an event that's fun for everybody.
We've talked endlessly about the other sports, if you will, and I'm talking everything other than men's basketball and men's football. The other sports, most of them very successful at Illinois. We understand that. But it has to be nice for Josh Whitman to be able to trumpet, if you will, the men's basketball program right now, which just won a Big Ten title, arguably should have won two in a row. Would have arguably made, well, not arguably, they would have, without COVID, three straight NCAA tournaments. And then on the football side of things, yes, the wins aren't there yet, but Brett Bielema seemingly has done most everything correct since he's gotten here, including with alumni. So it has to be nice for Josh Whitman to get up in front of audiences and know that his two major sports right now are on the incline.
Definitely. I mean, he's excited to talk basketball and excited to talk about the extension that he gave to the assistants. Obviously, Brad's gotten raises and extensions. Josh himself,
mm-hmm.
which he discussed, you'll hear some of that tomorrow, talking about his own extension that he got. And, I mean, let's be honest, a big part of that's got to be the success and turnaround of the men's basketball program.
No doubt.
But also, there's excitement with football, and we got to see it continue to play out. But the fact that the second half of that season, there were signs of beating Penn State on the road, beating Northwestern finally, and some of these recruiting wins that Brett Bielema is starting to put together, there's excitement to see how that continues to play out going forward and hope that this is another step forward this year.
Can I correct you real quick? Crushing Northwestern.
Crushing. You're right.
Not just beating. The other thing we're going to do at 4:30, so we're going to hear Chester here in a second. You'll hear Chester Frazier. James Herring, one of my favorite interviews that we do on our show.
He's our guy.
He is going to join us, now a Maine assistant basketball coach at Radford. So James Herring had gotten a hold of you and said, hey, I want to join my guys, man. So he's going to join us at 4:30. The great thing about talking to James is he's on the inside, right? So in other words, he was director of basketball operations for John Gross here at Illinois. Now he's a Maine assistant for a college basketball program. And there's just certain questions, and this is what I'm going to ask our listeners out there at 359-2255, 217-359-2255. Has there ever been something you've wanted to ask a college coach that's not just the ordinary? You know, like, mm-hmm. what's it like to win a Big Ten championship? I mean, that's fine. Those are good questions. But, you know, like you and I were discussing before the show, like, okay, if they have a recruit that, and I brought up Andrew Tate, just giggles, but I said, okay, if nobody at Illinois has a connection to Andrew, then who chooses who goes and talks to Andrew, right? Now, normally, there's always a connection, right? Tim Anderson has a connection. I know Jeff Alexander better than I know Chester and for sure Tim Anderson. So maybe in that case, maybe Jeff reaches out to me and says, hey, I want to come talk to your son. And if he wants to, by the way, you can let him know. That's fine. Of course, I can.
You have to let James know about it.
Well, right. We'll let James. Yeah, he could go star at Radford. But seriously, it's just one of those. There's little questions like that. Like, how do they, you know, what do you do on a road trip when you go see a player? What do you do on your downtime? Or are you constantly with that player? Little things like that. So if you've got a question, send them in to the U of I Illini Lake text line at 359-2255. Trevor is here. One little rip on Trevor before we get going. You will understand this soon with Cade when you're trying to get him up for school, that the best weapon you can do as a parent is you turn the light on. So in the morning, you're like, Cade, it's time to get up, buddy. And if you leave the light off, he's not getting up. I can promise you that. So the best weapon a parent has is they flip the light on. So when we got here today, I flipped the fans on, and then I said, you know what? I'm going to just shut the lights off because in our studio in Philo, there's windows everywhere, and it's a beautiful view, and the sunlight is coming in. The Trevor just walked in and turned them on. So he's like waking us up. I think he thought we were either sleeping in or taking a nap is what he was doing.
It must be.
He's over there laughing right now.
We've got a 1 hour show. We're just going to keep it super yeah. low key. Let's turn the lights down low, have the fans going.
And here comes Trevor ruining it all. I kid. All right. James Herring at the bottom of the hour. Excited. Always excited to visit with him. We'll do that. But last night, Derek Piper had a chance to catch up with Illinois basketball assistant Chester Frazier.
This is the guards. We got them on campus. What were your impressions of having them around, Sky and Jaden, since here?
Just getting them started, man, getting them acclimated. They've been lifting with Fletch and, you know, getting some shots up in voluntary workouts. So, you know, just excited to get them a head start in the weight room especially, man, start building their bodies. And, you know, we'll hit the ground running here when school summer one starts next week.
How does your approach change? Or last year, maybe you didn't have to tell Trent a bunch of things.
Exactly.
And now you got freshmen. So what's that like for you?
Actually, fun, man. It's a new energy. Obviously, you're excited. It's like bringing a new baby home. You want to, you know, give it attention and show it a bunch of love. So those guys have been fun, man. Just being around them, and you know, they're excited. Their energy, you know, I'm feeding off their energy. They're excited to get to work. They're hungry. They're eager to learn. So they got that youthful energy, man. That's always fun.
To see the bond build between those guys, how's that kind of come along? So they spend some time together.
Yeah, they're roommates, so you know they kind of have no choice. You know they built a good relationship so far. They're always with each other, and you know that's why you bring them in early, man. Start building that chemistry, you know, getting that work ethic started, and you know it should be fun.
You take kind of a big brother role to those guys.
Yeah, I hope so, man. You know, I think we're all going to, you know, kind of have our part in it. And, you know, the maturation process of young guards, I've been doing this a long time now, man. And, you know, it's a journey for those young guys. They have no idea what's coming. You know, all of them are super talented. But, you know, we know college basketball is different, man. So, you know, it's a big adjustment period coming from high school basketball to college basketball.
You've seen the roster fill out with Matthew, and it looks like that's kind of getting to the end there. But you guys seem comfortable with young guards going into the year. What gives you guys that comfort with those guys?
Well, if you look at Wisconsin last year, who was their point guard? Freshman. No, you can win with young guards, man. They're talented. But we're going to have, you know, that's why it was important that we got Terrence and Matt. Just having those veteran guys on the wings that have been through it, have played a bunch of college games, and you know those guys will grow up fast. They're gonna have some hiccups along the way, but they're talented and they're good and they're competitive, and that's the most important thing, that physically they can come in and compete.
Do those guys in Ty give you another option to bring the ball up? It seems like you have several guys who could do it in Spurs.
We could go a lot of. I mean, you have a ton of guys that can handle the basketball for us. I mean. You know, you signed basically four guards in this class with Ty, Sincere, Jaden, and Sky. And then you have guys like Coleman, who could, in a pinch, bring the ball up the court. You know, Dane could even get the ball and bring it up the court. So you have guys that can bring the ball up the floor in a pinch if you need an emergency ball handler. So I love the versatility of our group, guys that can play on and off the ball, you know, multi-positional guys.
I know you're a guy that likes to watch a lot of film. Is there any teams that you watch as you start to think about how you guys could play that then relates or anything like that?
Man, I've been watching so much film. Just, you know, we're obviously we don't have the raw, pure size up front that we, you know, with Kofi, obviously Omar, you have some bigger, taller guys. But we're long on the wings. We're more athletic than we were a year ago, for sure. You know, I've been watching some full court stuff, some old Rick Pitino, you know, Amoeba pressure stuff, some of my stuff from over in Germany with Coach Patrick and when I played. Just looking at some different ways we can be disruptive and utilize our depth and athleticism. And, you know, we'll see. It's always good in theory to watch it, and then when you get your guys on campus, it's like, oh, well, maybe we can do this and that. So I think it'll be more important to get them on campus first and see kind of how we want to play.
I know leadership was a big part of your playing career. Where do you think that comes on this roster? Or is that something also that has to play out this summer?
Yeah, I think it'll be organic. You know, the leaders will emerge. I think Luke Goody's, you know, wanting to be a leader. You know, I think he's got a personality for it. He doesn't get too high, get too low. So I think he'll be good for that. And then obviously, you know, you have your returners, Coleman, RJ, Dane, and then Terrence, who's been through a lot of games. He's shown some ability to be a leader, and I hope Matt can do the same.
What has stood out about Terrence since you've seen him on campus?
Well, he's just, again, it's a guy that's played a bunch of college basketball games already. He's physically ready to play. You know, there's ready to go film that you can see to say, okay, that translates. And just his presence, him being from the state and him being here, that helps us tremendously.
Anything in the spring that you saw with the guys that are returning, in terms, I don't know how much you got to watch of that, but just development during that period of time?
I think the biggest jump usually is that spring and summer before your sophomore year. And we're finally able to tackle some weaknesses with some of the guys, and they're getting stronger. You can noticeably see they're putting on weight and getting stronger. So I think that part of it, you know, I think is huge for a guy like RJ, who's got to get stronger. You know, Luke's, you know, obviously working on his explosion and his body's already strong. And then Coleman's, you know, we're trying to put some weight on him and get him stronger. So just being able to, you know, really fine tune their skill work and then get them stronger.
I think we've talked to you since the contract extension. What that mean to you to get that?
Oh, just, you know, home. You know, it allows me to stay home. You know, I'm excited to be able to know that I'm secure in the job, and a job that I love to be at, and was able to come in and have some success early at. So I always like to say, be where your feet are, man, and no better place than with the orange and blue.
You want to play one-on-one with some of these incoming guards? You training on Cameron out?
I got
to
get in shape, man. I'm in no kind of shape right now. But I think if you give me a couple of weeks, I'll be ready to compete with those guys. No, I'm excited. Just, you know, more so just to be involved, man. Just be around these guys. Let them be out there as a guy that can demonstrate, and also, you know, tell them, look, this is what you're going to see. Especially the young guards, like being able to get on the floor and say, hey, this is what this is going to look like. This is how you may react in this situation. Here, let's go watch some film and let's watch how they're going to defend this. And I think that'll be the biggest piece. It's not the physical. They have the talent physically. It's the mental piece. And they haven't seen a bunch of plays yet. So being able to get them in the film room is, I think, more important than being on the court for me.
You get a chance to watch Ty yesterday?
Yeah, I watched that. I actually did, man. I mean, it was such a blowout. But he did some really nice things, man. He's so versatile. He can pass. I think that's the most underrated part of his game is his passing. He's a willing rebounder. He can guard. You know, he can get to the basket. You know, he's got positional size. I mean, the kid's – he's got the world ahead of him, man. I'm telling you, that kid's going to be really good.
That is Chester Frazier, Illinois assistant basketball coach. It is great to hear Chester. I loved when he said, you can win with freshman guards, but – he was quick to point out it's nice to have Terrence. It's nice to have Matt. That'd be Matthew Meyer. Obviously, you want that experience because Illinois is not – they don't have a lot of experience coming back. Coleman Hawkins, obviously, but he didn't exactly mount big minutes for Illinois. Luke Goody, RJ Melendez, Dane, of course, hasn't played a game for Illinois. So you needed that veteran and leadership. I don't know about leadership. You needed the experience back more than anything. But, man, I cannot wait to watch these guards take off. And who better to kind of lead the way for them than Chester Frazier?
Definitely. I know he's super excited, as you heard there, to get with them and show them the ropes. And this summer is going to be really important with teaching them obviously what they're going to see in the Big Ten and watching some film and just being a big part of that maturation process. So he's certainly been through the wars and put on that jersey. So that's a great guy to lead the way for them. But yeah, like you said, talented young guards. I think it would be nice to have a veteran point guard in that mix. There's been some complications there based on the opportunities you want for Clark and Epps versus what a veteran point guard would want to have. But to have multiple ball handlers, Meyer, Shannon, Coleman can do some of that. Ty Rogers, and clip there, this staff is buzzing about Ty Rogers based on, I mean, not just what he's showing now with USA Basketball, but the fact that he made that team, his skill, and what he's going to bring to the table. And they consider him a guard because he's that skilled. He's built like a linebacker, but he's like a forward, kind of like a Swiss Army knife type of player, but he's got the skill set of a guard.
Is he exactly what Brad Underwood would want? Or I'm not – listen, anything I say about Ty Rogers, I cannot wait to watch this kid. I don't know that he's ultra, ultra athletic, right? He just does everything correctly. And while he doesn't maybe – he can get above the rim, but he doesn't live above the rim, if you will, if you go with me down that path. So I guess if, you know, throw in the athleticism of someone, obviously, but everything else, the intangibles, it feels like Ty Rogers is exactly the guy that Brad Underwood would want one of at least every recruiting class.
100%. I think that athletically, his mobility is good. Like his range, the way he moves his feet, his length is certainly a plus. He's not this super bouncy athlete. Like he's not a freak like Terrence Shannon is. Right. Like you're going to see him above the rim, but his toughness, his strength, his commitment to defense, his ability to pass and handle, his perimeter jump shot needs to get better. That would be one thing that if you're going through the checklist needs to be a sure thing for him. That's probably the difference between him being NBA ready, which he doesn't have to be right now, but down the road as he progresses, if that jump shot comes along, I think he will be someone that could play at that level, but everything else is there and he's going to find minutes because of all those different things that he brings.
There's a lot of unknowns. And what I mean by that is Epps coming in as a freshman, Sky Clark coming in as a freshman, everything else that's involved. But do you, in your mind right now, think Illinois will be a pretty good shooting team, or do you think they'll be a very good shooting team?
I think a pretty good shooting team.
I think that's fair.
I think we're going to have guys that need to answer, like, on a bigger scale, can RJ make threes? I mean, he's not going to shoot above 50% from three, but is he going to be upper 30s? If he's in the 40s or low 40s, that'd be great.
Incredible.
Coleman Hawkins has to take a big step there. He has to go from, I think, his career 22, 23% from three. That needs to go up significantly. Matthew Meyer's a capable shooter. Yeah. He's shot it well in the past.
Shannon went down a little bit last year. Is that right? Or am I thinking, that was Meyer.
Meyer went down a little bit. Shannon got better. He took a nice step forward with his three-pointer. And then I think while Clark and Epps can really score, it's just, as we've talked about a lot, freshmen sometimes,
no doubt,
it's hard to make shots consistently. So is that going to be an issue for them, like we saw with Max Christie, with Caleb Houston? Or do they come in and shoot it well, and then all of a sudden you are a really good shooting team?
Don't forget my guy, Goody.
Oh, I can't forget him. Not in that category,
for sure. I was going to say, I think he's going to knock him down as well. All right, good stuff. Thank you for that interview with Chester Frazier. Tomorrow we'll hear from Josh Whitman and also Jeff Alexander, Coach Alexander. That'll be fun to hear the points of view of both of those guys. I'm excited to hear Jeff. We just heard Josh, but I'm anxious to hear him again. Anytime we want to hear from the AD, I'm all about that. When we return, it is time to talk basketball, and I'm talking in-depth basketball. James Herring, he is an assistant coach at Radford, used to be director of basketball operations for John Gross. I want to ask him if he's upset that Derek Piper's son is not named after him. So I was thinking maybe that, you know, James Piper might come down the tube when I heard about the newborn. But we'll see. We'll see if James is holding a grudge on that at all.
I know James can't comment publicly about recruits.
Oh, yeah.
But that was Cade's first offer.
Now, okay. He got his first offer.
He got his first offer.
Did that set a record?
I hope so.
It had to have.
Me and James had talked about it prior to. I was a prospective father when James hit me up about him, so he hadn't even seen.
How much is that going to mean to you and Cade and Haley down the road about that they were the first one in?
You know?
I mean, that should mean something.
It should.
Should mean so when Duke, Illinois, Carolina, you know, all these, well, of course, if LSU's knocking on the door, you better take that one. go ahead and send him down there. I'm thinking they do pretty well financially. But, you know, when Arizona State comes calling, are you guys going to be all okay with, hey, you know what, Radford was the first to offer?
You know, but
of course, Herring might
I don't think James will be at Radford.
It's a good point. It's a good point. He's going to be some Power Five, and he's got the inside to Cade Piper. I'm loving this. All right, when we come back, we'll visit with James Herring. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. Follow us on Twitter. Just search The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lon Tay, ESPN. See you.
I'm a D Piper 247. Our podcasts are back up and running on all platforms. You can find them at TayandPiper.podbean.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, the whole thing.
The whole.
Stream us live at StevieJay.com, StevieJay.com, or just search YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter.
Perfect.
Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
From the center of the universe, Philo, Illinois. It is The Drive.
Horizon Hobbies RC Fest is coming to Monticello, Eli Field, June 10th and 11th. $5 to park gets you discounts in the product tents. With so many great shows with radio-controlled vehicles and planes, you'll love the fireworks Saturday the 11th. It's the largest gathering of radio-controlled cars, trucks, airplanes, helicopters, and drones in the Midwest. Thrilling competitions, vendors, exhibits, food trucks, and air shows make the action at RC Fest nonstop. It's 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., so enjoy the fun for the whole family. Get more details at HorizonHobby.com.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
You see the signs at the state line, you are leaving Illinois. No kidding. Your family, friends, businesses are fleeing. Gary Rabine is running for governor to stop this problem. Rabine is a self-made businessman with 13 companies in Illinois.
Hi, I'm Gary Rabine. I see the problems every day. Highest taxes, most regulations of any state, along with crime, education, and jobs. We have challenges. I've got solutions. Join us. It's Rabine time.
Paid for by Rabine for governor.
For nearly three decades, thousands of customers in Central Illinois have trusted their commercial and residential needs to the top-rated team at Mattex.
I am the head plumber. The best reason to call Mattex, in my opinion, is that you're going to get somebody that cares about your house and cares about your problem. Anytime you call a plumber, it's never good news. So I'm going to be friendly and kind and lighten the situation and let them know that no matter what problem they have, it'll get taken care of.
Visit us online at mattexservice.com to learn more or book your service today. Mattex, feel the difference.
I'm Demonte Williams. When it comes to hustling on the court, that's easy. You know what else is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care.
That's right, Demonte. When you need care for minor illnesses and injuries that's easy to get when and where you need it, OSF On-Call Urgent Care is your MVP. Walk in 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even holidays, or connect with a virtual visit 24/7, 365 days a year. Visit osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Short-term market fluctuations can be unnerving for everyone. A proven way to tune out the noise and focus on long-term investment goals is to adhere to a well-constructed investment plan. This is Eric Bolin with Provident Financial Group. If you don't have a plan in place, we can help create one designed specifically for you. Call us today for a complimentary consultation. Contact us at 217-366-3456 or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
If your car breaks down or needs to be repaired, trust the experts at Beaumont Alignment Plus to step up. For routine maintenance like tune-ups, oil changes, brakes, or tires, you can count on Beaumont. They'll also service bigger issues like alignment, suspension work, starters, or transmission problems. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for all your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. You can trust the dedicated, family-owned team of professionals at Beaumont Alignment Plus. Online at BeaumontAlignment.com.
Illini fans, stock up on great Illini gear this summer at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Their famous buy one, get one free t-shirt section is perfect for summer and has some great new designs. Shop their line of polos and other business casual apparel from great brands like Nike, Cutter & Buck, Tommy Bahama, and more. Refresh your wardrobe this summer at Game Day Spirit, located at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, and online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B at Stevie J Broadcasting, and you are listening to the amazing ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Latte, Derek Piper, The Drive with Tay and Piper. Trevor Belice here doing his work over to the side. Sometimes we don't allow him to come on the show. And you just have to deal with that. So he understands it, and that's what we do. All right, it is time to hit the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line and bring in our buddy. He is assistant basketball coach at Radford University, James Herring. What's up, coach?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. How about y'all?
I am great. This is awesome to visit with you. Of course, I always like it when you're actually here. That's even better. But look, there's a lot of distance between here and Virginia and Radford. So how are things going? As obviously now a main assistant, how has that been for these, you know, since basically the last time we talked with you? How are things going with you?
No, it's been fantastic and a great experience. And just, you know, we actually just finished up our first year here about a month ago, like a full calendar year. And for me personally, it's been great. I mean, my head coach is awesome. My athletic director is awesome. We've got a great staff as well, from assistant coaches to ops to video to our GA. And for me, just finally getting that opportunity to be an assistant coach at the Division I level was unreal. You know, it's something that you always kind of work towards, and you always hope for. You just never know if it's going to happen. And now I'm a year in, a little bit more experienced, a little bit smarter, you know, a little bit more confident in what, you know I'm capable of bringing to our team, like our team as a program, but also our team as a staff. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to improving on, you know, our first year and going into our second year. So, you know, we'll see what the future holds.
You touched on it a bit there. But how excited are you now that you've kind of gone through it for a year? How excited are you to now tackle year two? Because as you know from a player or having players, there's nothing that you can beat better than experience, guys that have been through it. So for James Herring, how excited are you to kind of attack year two?
Oh, pumped. Yes. You know, last year I just felt like I might have been a little bit deer in the headlights where, all right, this is the first time this is going on, or the first time this is going on, and how do I handle it? How do I adjust? How do I improve? How can I be better for, you know, our staff and our team and, you know, our players? So now I have a little bit of a better feel of kind of what is expected of me at different pockets of the year. You know, one, on a day-to-day basis, but two, like, all right, well, now it's the month of June. What do we have going on? Oh, well, we're doing this again. Like, because we did it last summer, now we're doing it again this summer. So definitely super fired up about year two. One, from that aspect of I kind of have a better feel of what is expected of me, but also just because we have a new team, you know, just kind of like what everybody else is going through with roster turnover, whether, you know, guys graduating, transferring, or whatever it may be. You know, we're pretty excited about the group that we have for this upcoming year.
James, you were a manager under Bob Huggins. You were on staff with John Gross, on staff with Anthony Grant at Dayton. As you then became an assistant, was there anything that you then took pieces of? I'm sure you've been doing that your whole career and lead up to this opportunity, but is there anything that now that you were in that seat, then you kind of pulled from different experiences that you saw from those type of coaches?
And I think some of it is like, you know, you take X's and O's from people. Like there's things that we did from a schematic standpoint when I was at Illinois that I still like hold on to and use. And some of that might just be like drill work and practice of how you implement things. But then also, like, you know, whether it's from Hugs, Gross, Ray Harper, Anthony Grant, but now not only the X's and O's, but just kind of like they all had different styles of how they dealt with players, whether it was on the court or off the court, you know, in practice, in the office, after practice, just hanging out on the side. And you try to pull things from different guys that you worked for but also worked with, whether it was like the other assistants or support staffers. And I try to do that from everybody. You know, there's things that I took just from Dayton, like how Anthony Grant like kind of attacked each day, and his aura as he kind of walked into a room, you always felt it in a positive way. And there's things like that I try to bring with the like our staff here and our team here at Radford.
Do you have any hugs, blow-ups during practice, anything like that?
No. There was one time last year I got frustrated because sometimes, like, you know, we'll blow the whistle and, like, make a call, you know, like whether it's a foul or somebody maybe traveled or whatever, and someone didn't agree with my call, and I didn't agree with the fact that they didn't agree with me. So, but nothing crazy because I'm of everyone on staff, I'm probably the most quiet of the group. And so I guess when that happened, everybody was a little caught off guard. But that's the only instance I can think of that I may have had a minor blow up from a energy standpoint, attitude standpoint. You know,
I'm putting you on the spot here, but it's got to, of course, be radio friendly. But you spent 4 years at West Virginia with Bob Huggins. He's a very lovable character in college basketball. You know his intensity, and that's certainly, I mean, I sit there with Brad Underwood and he tells stories sometimes from when they were at Kansas State. Anything that comes to mind story wise that you could share with listeners, like when you're on the inside of a program with Bob Huggins, what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like specific that's just wild or anything like that. And I think sometimes Huggins gets a bad rap in the media because people only see him in the game. You know, they don't see him, you know, in the locker room or, you know, in practice or in the office or anything like that, or just in the community. You know, people don't really see that, at least on a regular basis. But when you are there on a regular basis, you kind of see, like, how good of a person he is, you know, just as a person, and how he cares for everybody in the program. And people think that because of how he is in games, they probably think that's how he is every day in practice. But that's not always the case. Like, a lot of days in practice, he would be more on the reserve side, wouldn't really yell. You know, but the assistants would really take the lead on things. And I thought that was something that I really liked because he empowered the assistants to coach in practice, but also, like, he wasn't always the main voice in practice, because I think guys on the team get tired of hearing the same guy just dominate practice every day. But in terms of specific stories, I got nothing. But the one thing with Huggs is if you wanted to argue with Huggs, he always got the last word. So, you know, if there was something that somebody didn't agree with in practice, like one of the guys didn't agree with something in practice, you can argue with him, but you just got to let him get the last word. And he's fine. You know, so that was the number one thing. You kind of see some of the older guys on the team help, like, a new guy, whether it's a freshman, junior college kid, or a transfer, just like, hey, man, like, you can argue with him. You just got to let him say the last word and move on to the next play.
That's what we get in radio. That's what we get. We get to just pipe it down, and then we get the last word. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, hold on. If you're gonna argue with Piper, who's getting the last word?
Oh,
that's my question.
Well, I just let him do it because I know he's right. I mean, it's that simple. 99% of the time, he's right, so I just shut up. I mean, it's essentially pretty easy for me on that one. Visiting with James Herring. He is an assistant basketball coach at Radford. We love. He's one of our favorite guests. So I'll ask you this. Is it easy? We talk about leadership all the time as this key to a team. Is it easy as a coach to tell right away who a leader of a team is going to be or leaders of a team?
Yeah, I think it does take some time. You know, there are those instances where you might already have like a returner that you know is going to kind of like take the reins of everything and try to lead the group. Or at least be one of the main guys to lead the group. But there are times, even in the recruiting process, when you're recruiting a guy, whether it's a high school kid or maybe it's in the spring when it's a transfer or whatever it may be, where you can kind of see him, you know, being somewhat of an alpha.
Yeah.
And being a guy that you're like, all right, he could be the one that can kind of lead this group or one of the two guys that can lead this group going into next year. So, yeah, I think there are those instances where you just know ahead of time, all right, this is going to be one of those guys that is your quote-unquote captain or your leader. But the one thing I really like, kind of like that our head coach really harps on, like in our practice and throughout our program, is he doesn't necessarily like define a leader, but he can define leadership moments.
Right.
So different people on the team could be a leader in different moments of practice or the season in general.
So that said, James, now that this transfer portal is as crazy as it is, and you take Illinois, for example, obviously, because we're talking to mostly Illinois fans here, you've got a guy like Matthew Meyer who has tons of experience, won a national title at Baylor. You get a guy like Terrence Shannon that's coming over. What could a coach expect from those two? Is that just a no-brainer that those two will come in and be leaders of this team? Or is it still a guy like maybe Luke Goody who kind of established that role a little bit last year that is still kind of the leader of the team? Is that kind of a tricky thing, or I assume it just kind of works its way out?
Yeah, I think it does work its way out. And, you know, you would hope, you know, someone that has won a national championship can come in and be a leader,
right,
within your group. But you also don't know on a daily basis, like, was he a leader there? You know, because if he already was, then you might expect that, you know, for him to come in and do that. But if that wasn't really his role on that team, that he might not have those qualities, or maybe not have developed those qualities. But then, you know, like when you have a returner, like you're going to hope that he can help lead those new guys, especially early on with, hey, this is how we do things, you know, whether it's in the weight room or whether it's in workouts or practice, or hey, in the training room, this is how we do things. You know, these are like, this is even how, like, study hall, you need to act in study hall or things like that. So I actually think it's a blend of all three, potentially those guys or whoever, because those new guys are going to kind of lean on the returners to help them when they first get there. But then maybe over time, one of those new guys does have those leadership qualities kind of set just within themselves, that they end up kind of rising to the occasion to be a leader of a team when the season starts, or maybe late in the year or whatever it may be.
James, we're on the heels of that time when there's summer workouts and a lot of buzz about who's looking good and you know, a lot of projections and hype, I mean, to be honest. And I think in terms of, to make it Illinois specific before asking you the question, like RJ Melendez is a guy that there was flashes last year of what he could be. And then you look around the Big Ten and it's like, okay, Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey, Johnny Davis, huge freshman to sophomore years leaps. Can RJ Melendez do that? And then I'll ask you, how much can you see that in the summer? Can you know for sure? I mean, there's been instances, of course, and the one with Illinois is Alex Legion shot the heck out of the ball, you know, at Ubbin, and then didn't really pan out once he got on the court there. No. With Bruce Weber. But how much can you see there in summer workouts, and how much as a coach do you buy into that, temper it? How do you manage that?
I think it's different, you know, obviously coach to coach, player to player, program to program. But I do think there are some things from the summer that can translate, you know, not necessarily like making shots, because it's just a different mindset, you know, when you're in a gym in summer workouts, if you're playing pickup, as opposed to a 15,000 seat arena on national TV, you know, it's just a different mindset. But I think some of those things that you'll see translate from the summer into gameplay, you know, are like the physical development pieces. So are guys more explosive? You know, are they stronger? Are they faster? You know, do they use their body in ways that they hadn't used before to create angles? And you'll see some of that stuff, maybe not in like a one-on-one individual workout, but you might see that when they go, you know, like a four-on-four team segment or in pickup or whatever it may be, that they do like structured contact. But sometimes I feel like I want to put a ton of stock in our summer, and then there's other times where I'm like, well, you know, how much is it really going to impact our season, you know, come November? But I do think those physical attributes are key. Obviously, Illinois has a big-time strength coach, Adam Fletcher. Like, he's a beast himself and does a really great job. But those other things that can play into it in terms of, like, oh, man, this guy just got 20 today in practice, I don't know how much that really, really matters. You know, it probably doesn't really matter. Like the physical pieces
do. Follow James on Twitter at James, or J Herring 40, I should say. James Herring, Radford University assistant basketball coach, former Illini basketball director of basketball operations. You mentioned Fletch there, so I got to ask you, and we we kind of probe this with whoever we talk to from the program. You were around Fletch. What's the secret sauce, man? What makes him one of the best strength coaches out there?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the fact that he's 6'8" helps, you know, and the fact that he's in unbelievable shape himself helps. So there's built-in credibility there. You know, he played at Miami, Ohio, so he played Division One. You know, so guys look at him like, oh, like, I mean, he played in the arena. He played a game in the arena in 07, 08, 09. I can't remember what year it was. But there's clips of him hitting a jump hook, I believe, in, well, at the time, Assembly Hall, but now State Farm Center. But, like, Fletcher's personality is, like, unbelievable because he can really connect with people of, like, all walks of life. And it doesn't matter kind of where you've been, where you've come from, your experiences in life. I think he does a really good job of just finding ways to connect with guys, especially, you know, the guys on the team, you know, the players. Because at the end of the day, that's who he's dealing with on a day-in and day-out basis from a training standpoint. So I think that's, like, his best attribute outside of the fact that, yeah, he played the game at a pretty high level. And he's 6'8", and he's jacked. He's in great shape. But the fact that he's an unbelievable person is the reason why he's really good.
If you left out, played the game, and is 6'8", you were basically talking about me. Jacked. Exactly right, James.
Hey, Lon, are you playing slow pitch softball?
No, I don't. I did the fast pitch thing, and I've never been good at. Well, I wasn't good at that either, but never been good at slow pitch. I'm basically just slowly getting fat, James. I mean, really, I'm kind of slowly just retiring into my old age of just looking like frumpy. Is essentially what I'm doing. So I got to change that. Hey, I got to ask you this: do coaches ever relax on a vacation? I think Brad Underwood's on one now. I know that for you guys as assistants, you guys work nonstop all year. Do you actually get to take a vacation like Lon does down to the beach and take a couple of beers down and just relax and put your phone away, or is it never ending?
I think it definitely is different, you know, coach to coach. Even like if you're in my role as an assistant working for head coaches, everyone has different mindsets and, you know, kind of expectations. But I think my head coach does a great job of that in terms of when he does go on vacation. Yeah, is he still on his phone? Yeah, but is he as available as when he's in the office?
Right.
No.
Right.
And I think he expects the same from us, which is great because that's not always the case, you know, with different head coaches. Like some are always on and even if you're on vacation, you're really still working. But there's been different times this offseason where I've just taken some time and either gone home back to Illinois, or I was out west for a little bit and done some different things. But I try to stay off my phone when I'm on vacation, but I still find myself calling this recruit or texting this coach or whatever it may be. And it is somewhat, it's never ending. It is never ending. But if you can budget the time and you work with great people, then, turn that phone off and chill out, for sure.
Without getting into too many specifics, how busy are you during the season? And then when it ends, I mean, you know, for a lot of us, you know, we don't have like an end of season. Like in my insurance game, there's never a couple of months where I'm not doing exactly what I've been doing the other 10 months of the season. Whereas you guys are so into games and practices, and then all of a sudden it ends. And, you know, then there's a little bit of a downtime, but then here comes recruiting, here comes summer workouts, like Derek said. What is the main difference, I guess, from just in season, I assume it's 18 hours a day, to the summer where do you get to relax, or is it still the same amount of hours and it's just nonstop work?
Yeah, it's interesting, and that's a great question because I never really kind of thought about it, but you know, when you were asking that question and kind of describing it, like it made me think about when we lost in the conference tournament and we lost on a Wednesday or a Thursday, maybe on a Thursday. I can't remember what day of the week it was, but we lose and we were an early game. So we just bust back that day. And I just remember that next day I drove to Florida to go watch a prep school game.
Wow.
But when I got back from Florida, I got you know, 2 days later, I got back from Florida and I had I didn't know what to do.
Right.
I'm like, so now what? You know, and I knew, you know, obviously we had scholarships to fill and things like that, but everyone's season was kind of, we're still playing, you know, whether it's a high school, junior college kid, or, you know, obviously there ended up being transfers and things like that. It was almost like there was a little bit of downtime just because you went from having like a structured day of, all right, you come in, you're going to watch film on your next scout. You might have like a couple guys coming in the morning to work out and just to get some shots. You know, you try to get your own workout in, maybe eat. Then you got practice in the afternoon. Then you got post-practice guys working out. And then you got to watch more film. And it's like all of a sudden it's 10 at night and you're like, all right, I got to go to sleep, you know, do it all over again. And then the season ends and you have like a little bit of like a loss of, I can't think of the word, but like, I guess just structure.
Yeah.
You know, or sense. And you transition right into recruiting, but it really is like a year-round deal. There really isn't like downtime throughout the year, but you have these pockets in May where you hopefully get done with recruiting to the point where you can slow down in May a little bit, and then in August as well before the school year starts. So that's just kind of how it goes.
Interesting.
You know, because in June and July you have your guys back doing workouts. You got kids summer camps going on. Now that there's these two recruiting periods in June and always have an AAU in July, it's like nonstop in the summer. So May and August are usually the slow time.
James, there's never enough time. We always think of all these things to ask you and pick your brain on. So one more question, though. This is a question that Lon has asked me, but why don't I ask someone that's right in the mix, a professional in this. What do coaches talk about during those AAU tournaments when you guys are all lined up next to each other and you see like one coach lean over to the other? What are they talking about?
Man, it's a wide range of things. Sometimes it's actually about the game. You know, sometimes it's about a certain kid or the game or the team or, you know, whoever's around, you know. But then there's obviously your professional questions like, hey, do you still need games on the schedule? Or, hey, how's so-and-so doing? He just transferred out of our league and, you know, things like that. Or so-and-so has a brother that's on our team and his brother's on their team. So, you know, whatever it may be. But, I mean, different times I've talked about, hey, where are you taking vacation next week?
Right.
You know, or, you know, where you guys know a good place to eat after this? You know, or like just like things like that. You know, and then there's always going to be like some different stuff for people that have really deep and built-in relationships. You never know. But then like old stories get told, and yeah, you know, people should be probably paying better attention to the games, but some people don't. You know, it varies person to person, but yeah, you never know the conversation. I mean, Piper, you're in the mix on those conversations.
Oh, I know.
Play dumb. yeah, you can't play dumb.
Who's the most entertaining coach to sit next to for you?
Man. Well, I always like to sit next to Walter Offit because that's my boy from when we were both GAs of Illinois, and now he's at Illinois State, because like we're really tight. We're really good friends, and I always like to hype him up. I always try to get him gassed up. So that's probably my favorite person to sit next to because I know how to push his buttons. So, outside of that, I don't really have anybody else. I'm kind of low key when I sit in those chairs. I'm pretty quiet. So, yeah, but I go with Walter Offit at Illinois State.